What exactly does it take to become a soul winner for Christ? How can we get out into a community absolutely infested with atheists, Satan's people, his angels, where we just really don't have any power in ourselves? How can we actually get out there and be soul winners for Christ? Let's have a look at a few quotes. First of all, Ellen White says in Desire of Ages, "Every true disciple is born into the kingdom of God as a missionary." First of all, our whole purpose in life, doesn't matter what we do in life, what jobs we do or whatever, our whole purpose in life is to be missionaries for Christ. What else? "Many who are qualified to do an excellent work accomplish little because they attempt little." So what is the key for us to make a difference in this world? If we basically take a mirror and we look at ourselves in the mirror and we basically go, "What can this person do that's staring at me?" And we say, "Well, I can only do a certain measure according to what I see in the mirror." Are we going to go that far? Or should we be thinking to ourselves, what could Jesus Christ do on earth when he was here? He could heal the sick. He could do so many different miracles. He could reach people in ways we could never imagine before. And he didn't have any power here within himself on this earth. He had a constant prayer life that God bestowed power upon Christ to do miracles and to work amazing wonders and to reach people in ways we could never imagine. And to even prove that, you look at the book of Acts. God bestowed his same Holy Spirit that he has given us. And what did the apostles do? In one day, they converted 3,000 people. Has anything changed today? See, the key to success in the mission field is basically having faith, being bold to walk forward, and having complete faith in God, walking forward prayerfully. In Lift Him Up, page 275, she goes on to say, "Heavenly intelligence are waiting to cooperate with human instrumentalities, that they may reveal to the world what human beings may become, and what, through their influence, they may accomplish for the saving of souls that are ready to perish. He who is truly converted will be so filled with the love of God that he will long to impart to others the joy that he himself possesses." Should we be passionate about this work of winning souls? Should, when we wake up in the morning, we say to ourselves, "I wonder how God's going to work today. I wonder what miracles he's going to do. Who is he going to bring along for us to witness to?" Every time I go to church, I basically pray to the Lord and I say, "Lord, I don't know what you've got planned for me today, but if it's your will to bring someone for me to witness to, send them along to me, and I promise I will witness to it." And you just don't know what doors God's going to open up for you. But if you're not bold enough to step forward, how can those angels work with you? How can heavenly principalities actually help you out if you're not willing enough to help yourself to even step forward in faith? Take a step forward in faith, and I promise you, God will never let you down. In Testimonies, Volume 9, "I saw jets of light shining from cities and villages, and from the high places and the low places of the earth. God's word was obeyed, and as a result, there were memorials for him in every city and village. His truth was proclaimed throughout the world." Very soon on this world, and I believe it's already started, a coming reformation is going to take place where we're going to see God work in amazing ways. And Ellen White actually says, she says that we're going to be surprised at the simple methods God uses to finish his work in the end. So when it comes down to it, God is going to finish the work whether we like it or not. So we have to ask ourselves, do we want to be a part of him finishing the work? Or are we going to live right up to that point where we suddenly see all these amazing things happen and thousands of people come into the church and we're going to be left there? And we're going to see them start preaching and doing miracles and signs and wonders. And we're going to stop and say, "But Lord, why can't I do these things? What's going on?" Hundreds and thousands were seen visiting families and opening before them the Word of God. Hearts were convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, and a spirit of genuine conversion was manifest. On every side, doors were thrown open to the proclamation of the truth. The Word seemed to be lightened with the heavenly influence. In the last days, hundreds of thousands will be seen visiting families and bringing the Word of truth to people. Just think about it. You could actually be part of a vision that Ellen White saw back 100 years ago. You never know. Maybe even that exact vision that God gave her, where there were hundreds of thousands of people. In this vision, she saw you guys going out into the community and talking to people. Now, I believe we're at the very moment of the fulfillment of this message, because hundreds of thousands, how many is that in a world of millions? Are we not seeing little revivals like AYC programs and all these things taking place all throughout the world, all throughout Australia now? I think if you add 2,000 going to this program, a couple of thousand in America and all over the world, you'll pretty much see hundreds of thousands of people. Could a revival be taking place in God's church right now? Well, if there is, it's a really good time to start witnessing for Christ. It's not too late. So we're going to have a quick look at some very core principles. We're going to go through some methods right now of how you can be evangelists for Christ. And it's not just about, I know there's a lot of people out there that don't like confrontational things. So there's even some things that aren't as confrontational, which will help you to witness and be evangelists and soul winners for Christ. Now, there's a basic analogy that we have a look at when we go to win souls for Christ. When we go, you have to remember that every single person out there is different from you and me. We don't know what stage they are at in life. They could have zero knowledge of God, or they could have led a rough life. And just like I was talking about that hitman that we met last night, we were talking about that hitman that we met at the doors. The Lord sent an angel to appear to him to get him ready, because God knew he was going to die soon. And God gave him one last chance. And we brought that message, and because we brought it for him, he was ready to basically accept the truth. So he was at a different stage. Every single person is different and unique in God's kingdom. So when we look, we have to basically determine and try to determine as quickly as possible what stage of this cycle. And if you want to know where this cycle, what this cycle is based off, it's basically based off the harvesting cycle. And we have to be able to determine ourselves what stage of the cycle that person's at. Well, first of all, these are the four different stages. There's soil prep. Stage two is seed sowing. Stage three is cultivation. Stage four is harvest. When we go to the door, or when we're on the bus and we meet someone at uni or whatever, when we meet someone and we approach them, we have to be able to determine ourselves what stage of the cycle that person's at. This soil prep stage is a stage where the person is not ready. The soil isn't good. Like if you put a seed in it, it would be hard for the soil to grow. So this person may have never heard Christ before. And if I suddenly go up to this person and I say, guess what? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he saw a big golden image and the whole world was predicted. And this guy might just go, yeah, mate, you believe in God, huh? I'm an atheist. I don't care less. And if you reach someone like that, well, if you teach them things, you tell them about Jesus, they don't care less. You have to be able to determine where that person's at. So at this soil prep stage, say if someone's at a stage where they're an atheist, they hate God, they hate life, they don't know anything about God or anything like that, you have to take baby steps with them. You have to basically say, oh, okay, you don't know God. Have you ever believed in a God before? One of the key things, and we follow the method of Christ with this, one of the key things to discover what stage of a cycle a person's at is by asking questions. Ask a lot of questions. Say, oh, why don't you believe in God? And they're like, oh, well, I don't know, my parents were staunch Catholics and they used to beat me and stuff and I hate God. Instantly then and there, you know, this person hates Christ because of his evil parents. And then you know, okay, well, if I can tell them how Jesus, how God was a loving father and how he was a God so merciful, and you can recreate that image of the father figure in their mind, then there's a chance you can reach that soul. Sometimes even you can't even talk spiritually anything to these people. And when they're at that soil prep stage, sometimes the best thing you can do is be their friend and show them love. And sometimes just by doing that, you can reach them. Sometimes even by leaving a DVD with them or something that is of a spiritual nature, just leaving it with them and walking away, maybe coming back in 3 months. Maybe in that time, God will have time to develop their character a little bit more. So you have to identify where people are at. So that is the first stage. The second stage is the seed sowing. And that's where maybe you've met someone, they used to be religious, but they're not religious anymore. They have more of a chance of listening to you if their experience hasn't been too bad. So, and if you basically talk to them about spiritual things and you're like, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, and they're like, oh yeah? Okay, what faith are you? And they start talking about it, then suddenly you've realized, hang on a sec, this person, obviously Christ has worked within their heart, and there's a good chance that you can reach them. The third stage is the cultivation. You may find a person out there and start talking to them, and they're just like, I believe there's a God. I believe there's a true God, and he loves us. And no, I've never been in a church before, but my parents taught me about that. Instantly, you know then that this person is at that cultivation stage where you can begin working with them. You can even ask them for Bible studies. You can ask them for anything, and there's a good chance they'll say yes. And then finally, the harvest stage is someone you'd meet where you'd basically straight away go, wow, this person's like virtually a walking Christian. The only difference is he's not going to church and he doesn't have a faith or a religion. And instantly then and there, you could virtually just say, oh, hey, do you want to come to my church? Or do you want to do studies? Do you want to do Bible studies? Are you interested to know more? So the first step you have to take as an evangelist is to discover where they're at in the cycle. And the good thing is you're not alone. When you go to the doors, you have backup. God the Father is with you. Jesus Christ is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you to direct you. Angels are there to guide you and protect you. So don't ever feel like, don't feel afraid to go to a door to talk to someone about Christ and have that fear that, oh, what about if he rejects me? We as human beings, we have such a fear of rejection. Take rejection and chuck it out, and I'll tell you what, your life will improve in such a way. Rejection is just doubt that Satan places in your mind to make you believe you do not have God with you, and you do not have the same abilities that his disciples had to push forward the work. Whenever you have a doubt in your mind or a fear that you cannot do this, because what if this happens? What if they reject you? What if they hurt you? That is Satan whispering into your ear telling you, don't witness to that person. So remember, when you go to doors, when you go to witness for people, when you speak up the front, you're not alone. You have God with you. Be bold, like Paul was. Be an apostle for Christ. We have angels with us protecting us. And just like I was telling the story last night, that dog that we went to that man's house, he basically said, oh, you're lucky that dog didn't attack you. And we saw it. This dog came in us and then he backed away. We have angels there to hold the mouths of lions, to hold the mouths of dogs. And it was amazing because when I actually went back there and I discovered that this person wasn't a person and didn't live there, that dog, when I drove up to the house, attacked. It was a German Shepherd. It attacked my car and wouldn't let me get out. So I just basically sat in the car and beat my horn and no one came, and then I went out. So, and last time, me and my friend, we just boldly walk out and walk towards the front door and the dog's right there. Technically, that dog should have absolutely mauled us. The power of God is amazing. Like, trust him. be bold for him. Don't be afraid to get out there and do things you wouldn't normally do, because if it's to forward his work, he will make it happen. What else? What weapons do we have? God has given us weapons, just like a modern SAS force. He's given us a savior to always be with us. And the very name Jesus mentioned in front of a person comes with power, as Ellen White says. So it has, the name itself has power to win souls for Christ. What other weapons? We have prayer. The stories last night that I told you attest to the fact that prayer is powerful. We have the Word of God. Don't ever be afraid to pull out the Word of God and show someone something, because it does have power to convict people. And if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, as you know, you can move a mountain. So never think that there's an obstacle that you cannot pass if you have the power of prayer. And if you pray to God, He will let you through and He will allow it to pass. So what is our objective as Christians, as faithful watchmen? It is to infiltrate enemy territory and save souls that are hostage. Because all around us, Satan has so many people ensnared. They don't know. When I was in the music industry, when I had absolutely no knowledge of Christ whatsoever, I was out partying, I was out drugging, I was out doing whatever. I had no knowledge. If someone came and told me, then maybe when I was 22, maybe when I was 23, I'd be converted. It wasn't right up until I was like 26, 27 that the message of God came through me. And no one came and told me about God. God showed me through a DVD and through all these other near-death circumstances that there was a God. So maybe I wouldn't have had to go through all those things if someone had come up to me. Our job is to go into enemy territory and save souls that Satan has ensnared. Don't be afraid to do it. Be bold. So let's have a quick look at some methods we can use. These are different ways we can reach people. We can reach people through canvassing. Simply going around the community, dropping something in someone's mailbox, or even better, leaving it on their doorstep, which is more of a chance of that they'll watch it. That's a simple thing where you can reach people for Christ. Simple as that. And that's these ways aren't confronting. You just have to leave something. As easy as that. And you never know. An evangelist may come through that area like sometime in the future, and they may suddenly see that, like they may knock on that door and this guy says, "Oh, I watched the DVD ages ago and I really love Jesus now." And you've sown a seed. You have placed a star on your crown. So you don't know how even the simplest things can win souls for Christ. What are some other methods? Through the media, we can distribute DVDs. We can burn DVDs and give them out to people with Christian messages. That's a very non-confrontational way to reach people. And we can do that at unis. We can do that at school. We can just say, "Here, take this. Watch this." Simple as. Some other methods. Mini programs, spiritual or non-spiritual. We can run programs, either spiritual ones, just little ones, inviting youth in the community to come along. Or we could run non-spiritual ones. We could have cooking demonstrations, food seminars, things like that, just to bring people in. We ran an evangelism series at a very rough area called Cranbrook in Penrith in Sydney. And we got 70 to 80 people that rocked up for that. We put free cooking books on the table and people were just taking them. We started throwing down great controversy, steps to Christ. People were just taking them like it was chicken on the table or something. What else? Youth programs. And this one goes out to all the youth. If you're not running an AWISE in your church, make it happen. Do it. Run an afternoon program. Get some churches together. Start having a youth gathering where you sing praises for God, where you worship God together. And then maybe every couple of weeks, run a little evangelism thing. Go drop some DVDs off or door knock or something. And you will find if you do this, it will create revival in your church. What other things? There's cell groups. You could start up a cell group with Bible study, like a little Bible study group where you invite people, have some food, do Bible studies. Just get them to come along and get them to invite their friends. And eventually, you never know who might come along. We've been invited to Hillsong Bible study groups before, and because of that, that basically six of the people in Hillsong came over to the Adventist church. So if they can run successful cell groups and win so many people, we can do it too. What else? Uni study groups. Go to your university. Start up a study group. Hire a little room or something and just put out flyers somewhere. Invite. Just say, oh, hey, this is happening. Invite your friends, even if you get two people. You never know how big it could grow. What else? Your testimony. Remember how Dave was telling you to prepare a 5-minute testimony last night? Good thing about the testimony is people cannot argue with you. You can say, oh, but the Bible says that Jesus is going to come soon. The Bible says that this is going to happen, that earthquakes are going to happen. And people are going to go, oh, yeah, my Quran says this, my this says that. There's always debate. But one thing you can tell people which will stump them is you can say, I prayed once and I had an angel come and give me food or clothes. I prayed once and God gave me this money or opened up a doorway for this. And then they're like, oh, well, what can they say? It's your testimony. They can't dispute your testimony. That testimony is an amazing thing. And if you know how to say it within 5 minutes, like really quickly, just give them a real like punch where they'll just be like, whoa. Then you never know what impact you might have. You may walk away and they may be stuck there thinking and going, no. Like they could argue with the Lord. They may go, no, that's not right. But they can't argue with the testimony. What else? Community service. Go mow your friend's lawn for free. Not your friend's, but a stranger's lawns for free. Just do something that's really going to make people go, why on earth is this person so nice? Door knocking. Now, we know door knocking, according to some of those quotes we read, will be one of the greatest ways God's going to reach people out there in the last days. And it is the most effective way to do it, because you may wait for God to bring people along and you may get one person every day, but if you go knock on 10 doors within 10 minutes, that could be 10 people. If you knock on 10 doors every single week and you times it by 52 and then you times that by 70, the time of your life or whatever, you think about how many people you could reach. It is the most effective way. And if you want many stars on your crown in heaven, I'll tell you what, that is one way to achieve that, because you just reach so many people. And because you do that, because you're willing to go into enemy territory for God, God will be bold and bless you. And whenever you get in dangerous circumstances or something happens, which is a rarity, but every now and then, crazy dog, crazy person, you can't avoid that. Yeah, but if you do that and you be bold, God will stop you. It's just reminded me of a story that sometimes God lets you go through things, because one time we had a dog chase us and we had to run out and dive over the fence, but we found it pretty funny afterwards. When you're in danger, God protects you. Sometimes he just has a laugh as well, I suppose. Evangelism campaigns is another way. After you door knock for 6 months, have an evangelism campaign. Invite everyone that you've met to come along. All right. Ellen White says, from door to door, his servants are to proclaim the message of salvation. She goes on to say, let our canvassers know that it is for the advancement of Christ's kingdom that they are laboring. He will teach them as they go forth to their God-appointed work. Not before, as. If you want to learn how to be in Christ's kingdom, walk forward. He will teach you as you move forward. To warn the world of a soon coming judgment, accompanied by the power of persuasion, the power of prayer, and the power of love of God, the evangelist's work will not, cannot be without fruit. If you go out there in faith, if you step forward, even though you are not ready to go, God will bless you. There will be fruit. I promise you that. Step forward in faith. God will bless you.